The following message, Warfare Prayer, the sixth in the series, Spiritual Warfare, was based on Ephesians chapter 6, verses 18 through 20. This message was delivered on Sunday evening, July 28, 2019, to Emmanuel Reformed Baptist Church of SeaTac, Washington, by Pastor Rob Ventura of Grace Community Baptist Church, North Providence, Rhode Island.
And so as we come then to this final message for this evening in our series on spiritual warfare, to consider the vital topic of warfare prayer, our subject for this evening, warfare prayer, I ask you please to turn with me in your copy of the scriptures once again to Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6, as we come to consider the last three verses in this wonderful section of scripture. Ephesians 6. Having already considered verses 10 to 17 in the five previous messages, notice with me now what we read, picking up at verse 18, and I'll read to verse 20 in your hearing. Ephesians 6 at verse 18, here as Paul concludes this section of Scripture concerning taking up the whole armor of God, that we might stand against the wiles of the devil. Notice how he begins verse 18, crucial words, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints, verse 19, and for me, that utterance may be given to me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that in it, that is the gospel, I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. Let's pray. Our Father, again, we're so grateful that your promises are true. We're thankful, Lord, that where two or more gather together, Lord Jesus, in your name, there you are in our midst. So we acknowledge you here this evening, O God, and we are looking to you for grace and help from on high. We are mindful, O God, according to your own word, that a man can receive nothing except it be given to him from above. So God, give it to us this night, we pray. And drive away tiredness, O God. Bar this place from the enemy. And might your word run and have free course among us, O God. Come, we pray, and do us good. Help us, your struggling saints, that we might be well-equipped soldiers in this great battle set before us. O God, do us good, we pray again. Strengthen us in the inner man to the end that we might stand strong against the wiles of the devil. We ask, we pray, we plead all these things in that glorious name of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. In commenting on the passage that I just read in your hearing, the last few verses of this pericope in Ephesians chapter 6, it was Charles Simeon. I hope you all know who Charles Simeon was, that great expository preacher from another generation, who said the following words. Simeon wrote, quote, "It has been graciously ordained by God that none of his people should be independent to him or of him, regardless of how richly they may be furnished, either with gifts or with graces. For all of them," underscore, each and every one of the people of God, all of them are under the necessity of receiving continual supplies from the Lord and of acknowledging him from day to day as the source of all of these benefits. Simeon writes, quote, "Hence we see," in speaking about our section of Scripture, "that in addition to the armor that we as Christians are to be covered from head to toe, it is necessary that we wait on God in prayer. For this is agreeable to the direction given to us in our passage, Ephesians 6, verse 18 and following." Now, dear brothers and sisters here this evening, it is this matter of you and I, as the people of God, receiving continual supplies of help from our great God in Christ through prayer, with reference to us doing well concerning the whole matter of spiritual warfare that will be our attention for this evening. Here, as Charles Simeon has rightly said, and the Apostle Paul shows us in our text and view, listen, there is a vital, there is a crucial link between our doing all that Paul has commanded us to do. We've looked at the various commands over the several messages. There is a vital link to his commands with reference to us being made strong in the Lord and us putting on the full armor of God to what we are now called to do in verse 18, 19, and 20 of this chapter. Now, of course, this is very plain just by looking at the structure of the passage in our Bibles as Paul speaks of what we're to do now in verses 18 to 20. I mean, after calling us, as we've seen, verse by verse, phrase by phrase, to put on the full armor of God, six specific pieces of the armor in the previous text. Now, immediately, look at it in your Bibles, immediately, 18a, note the words again, Paul says, underneath all of this, as it were, holding up the whole thing so that you could do well in it, immediately, he says, underneath this, that we are to pray always. You see it there in your Bibles. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, etc. And so, what is Paul's point here? Why, again, you just see it there in your English Bibles, quite clear in the Greek text as well. Why put this matter of prayer, again, as the support, the foundation holding up everything else that he's called us to do? Well, dear ones, the answer is, listen carefully, in spiritual warfare, prayer is absolutely vital to our success. Prayer is vital to our success. The answer is that prayer is the supernatural, spiritual oil, if you will, which will lubricate our entire spiritual armor, and this so that it might function well. For as an engine, here's the illustration, needs oil in a car so that it could work well, so also every part of the Christian armor that we wear will be exercised in vain by us, for without prayer, again, undergirding it as the supernatural oil, without prayer, it will not function well. Now, sadly, there are many people who miss this very significant point altogether, this matter of prayer in spiritual warfare, whenever they take up this topic, with reference to us facing the powers of darkness. Unfortunately, when some people speak about spiritual warfare, they're only interested in the sensational matters, things we spoke about in my negative definition of what spiritual warfare is, that of casting demons out and all of these things, hocus pocus, whatever it might be. But they don't really talk too much about prayer. However, as I said, based on our passage, we see it there, verse 18, undergirding all that Paul has said, if you and I are going to fight well, successfully in this war, then we must never forget that if it's going to be won by us, it's going to be won on our knees. That's how it's going to be won. Let me state it this way and say that if this fight is going to be fought well by us, it must be accomplished by you and I regularly calling out to our commander-in-chief, even the Lord Jesus Christ, for help and grace, realizing that, as John Bunyan, the great Reformed Baptist pastor, rightly said, prayer is, quote, the greatest weapon in the storehouse of God. Prayer is the greatest weapon in the storehouse of God. Now, of course, the topic of prayer is very broad. Prayer in and of itself is multidimensional. However, again, for this evening, we are focusing specifically upon this spiritual discipline as it connects to the topic at hand. Hence, I called it warfare prayer. And so as we come then to consider this critical matter in connection to our engagements with demonic spiritual forces and what I believe is the second offensive weapon along with the sword of the Spirit, note with me first in 18a, the frequency of our prayers. The frequency of our prayers. Here as Paul begins to speak to us about this topic, he says that our spiritual covering is to be put on and employed, note the words again in your Bibles, he writes, All of this is to be done by us, he says, praying always. You see how it connects to what he just said. Do all of this praying always. Now we see once again here that by Paul bringing up this topic of prayer at this point in his discussion of spiritual warfare, that in fact prayer is foundational. It is fundamental to this entire subject. Prayer, which by way of definition is that of a Christian pouring out his heart to God through Christ in worship and praise and adoration, confession and thanksgiving, is that of his making his own request known to the Lord, is that which is to be characteristic, quite clearly, of us as soldiers who are in Jesus' army. This again, as I said a few moments ago, is how you and I will receive help as the children of God in this great battle of all battles, to the end that we will be able to withstand the evil one in the evil day. That's what Paul says here. That's what the language tells us. It's quite straightforward from the passage. And so if we're going to do this with the best outcome, how is it to be done? In other words, what's the manner of its implementation? Well, again, Paul tells us in the first part of verse 18, when he says that we do this not merely by praying sometimes or just when we are in spiritual trouble, or rather, he says that we do this by praying always, or more literally, at all times and in all seasons. That's how it reads in the Greek text. Praying always and in all seasons. Now, of course, this makes sense, right? We're talking about spiritual warfare, right? We're talking about the devil when he attacks us, whenever that comes about in our lives. Well, the devil doesn't take a vacation. The point is, you're not to take a vacation. The devil's not sleeping, so you're not to sleep. Paul will talk about that later in this section of Scripture. The devil seeks to attack us often. And so if we're going to have success over him, then the point is we are to keep close communion with Christ through prayer. Since Satan, again, takes no breaks from us, as I said, we must regularly be drawing near to Christ, for when we do, we have the promise that he himself will draw near to us. Draw near to Christ, and he will draw near to you. Now, obviously, when Paul, by the direction of the Spirit, says that we are to pray always or without ceasing, to use the language in 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 17, he does not mean that we are never to take a break from praying. That's not what he's saying at all. Further, just because Jesus said in Luke 18 and verse 1 that men ought always to pray, and again Paul says in Colossians 4, and verse 2, that we're to continue earnestly in prayer. Now, brethren, I'm not convinced that any of these passages are saying that we're not to do anything else in life but to pray. No, this is not what I believe any of those passages are teaching, for neither Jesus nor Paul lived their lives in that way. And so what then does such language teach us? I've said what it doesn't mean. What does it mean? Well, what these words mean is that since the threat of the kingdom of darkness is constant upon us, since it's always a reality, as believers we are to pray as much as we can, making it a daily priority. That's what I believe he's saying. Not viewing prayer as a spiritual occasion or activity for us to be engaged in. To state the matter another way, the idea here is that because our struggles with the powers of evil are never ending, prayer is to be a distinguishing mark for us who are the people of God. For as Paul says in Philippians 4 and verse 6, be anxious for nothing, but in everything, which includes, of course, spiritual warfare, in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God. What's the result? Well, he tells us when he says, and the peace of God, the shalom of God, the arene of God, the tranquility that comes from God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus. And so, because Paul here, again in this passage, which undergirds all that he's been saying, because Paul here in our passage calls us to pray at all times, so that you and I can in fact be safe against the strategies of Satan against us, I pause to ask you here this evening who named the name of Christ Is prayer that which distinguishes your life as a Christian? We're talking about spiritual warfare. We're talking about the devil who walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Paul says, be strong in the Lord. He says, put on the full armor of God. And he says, if you're going to do these things well, you must pray always. So I ask you here this evening, individually, do you pray always? Could you say that you're a man or a woman of prayer? Truly, you pray. Warfare prayers. We'll talk about that some more. What about as a church? Can you say that in the last time or the last several times you had a prayer meeting that someone actually prayed something against the devil? We pray, Father, in Jesus' name, we know that you are the great God. You're able to defend us. Oh, Lord, rebuke the enemy from our midst. Oh, God, might the word of God run and have free course. We stand against him in Jesus' name. Oh, God, defend us. We look to thee. When's the last time you prayed that kind of prayer? I pause to ask you who profess the name of Christ. Can it really be said of you with judgment day honesty that you are a man or a woman of prayer? Real prayer. Well, you say, I am by God's grace. You say, I see the value of praying. I don't leave my room in the morning. I don't seek anyone's face. I don't seek my own face until I seek the face of Christ. Praying always. That's what marks me out. Well, that's you here this evening. Well, praise God. However, if you can't say with judgment day honesty that you really value prayer and that you're entering into prayer daily, viewing it as a priority based on how Paul places it in our passage, then I say this evening is to be the evening for new beginnings for you here this night. A friend, I say you must begin immediately to regularly cry out to your heavenly Father, saying, as Jesus taught us in Matthew chapter 5, Lord, lead me not into temptation, but deliver me from the evil one. That is a warfare prayer. And so concerning our prayers to Christ in this regard, which ought to be constant, praying always, we ask next, how are they to be fleshed out, practically speaking? In other words, what's the manner that these kind of prayers are to be made to Christ as his people? Well, notice the answer to the question. Secondly, when Paul says in 18b that we are to pray always, and this, he says, with the prepositional phrase answering my question, the manner, with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication. Now, as I said, in this language here, Paul is telling us the way, the manner in which Christian soldiers are to pray in battle, as those who are to be dependent upon the Lord for all things. He says, first, that we are to pray with all prayer and supplication. Now, the words all prayer and supplication essentially cover the whole range of the different types of prayers that we are to make as the people of God, whether they be specific prayers or prayers that are general in nature. Here, the word prayer is a generic term for any address that you and I make to God, while the word supplication is more specific. So you got prayers and supplication, more specific, referring to the various types of petitions, requests, and entreaties that we should make to him. Specific things. Oh God, help this one with this specific situation. Now, having said this, we might ask, why was it that Paul felt it necessary to add these words to that which he's already said? Pray with all prayers, but then he adds the words again with supplication. Why does he add these words? Well, I believe that the reason for this is twofold. And the first is to show us that warfare praying is to be varied. Varied. Praying all prayers with supplication. What's the reason for the addition of the word? Well, warfare prayers are to be varied. The point is, when the enemy attacks us with his lies and his temptations, etc., there's not just one method of praying out to God. No, here's Paul's language, seems to be saying there are all kinds of prayers that we can make. Even quick and sudden prayers for help. Oh God, help me in this situation now. Oh God, I need you today. I need you in this very moment. Supplications, quick, specific types of prayers. Varied prayers, not just one type of prayer to God. But not only this, secondly, The combination of the words seems to express that our warfare prayers are to be intense. Intense. There's to be intensity in warfare prayer. Not only of varied types of prayer, but intensity in our prayer. Having mentioned all kind of prayers that we can pray in spiritual warfare, again, whether it's private or public in our families or silence or whatever types of prayers they might be, Paul now seems to be stressing that these types of prayers that we make to God are to be fervent, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. The point is, warfare prayer is to be passionate because there's a real battle at hand. Not merely a rambling through a grocery list, oh Lord, this, bless that, no, but specific prayers which are urgent. Lord, we need you now for this situation. I need you now for this particular temptation. And so how then are these prayers to be carried out by us who are Christians, who often feel so weak and helpless, especially when we are attacked by the evil one? In other words, how are we to pray all prayers and prayers of supplication, etc.? Well, Paul tells us thirdly, when he says in our verse that we are to do this, look at the language, in, or more literally, by means of the Spirit. Praying always with all prayers and supplications in the Spirit. How are we to do this? He says, in or by or with the help of the Spirit. Now, I find it quite unfortunate that when Pentecostals read this particular text, they see in the Spirit and praying, and they automatically assume that this is talking about praying in tongues. That's a classic misuse of this passage. If you know Pentecostals, this is a passage they say, well, this means speaking in tongues. But brethren, I say that in this context, this text has nothing to do with praying in tongues at all. Nothing could be further from the truth here. No, Paul's not talking about tongues. Tongues has nothing to do with this type of prayer. This is not being talked about in the topic. Of course, I don't believe tongues are for today anyway. But really the question is, what does Paul mean when he says that we are to pray all prayers with or by the Spirit's help? Well, that's exactly what I mean. That's what I think he means. We're to pray in the Spirit. It means with the assistance of the Spirit, by the help of the Spirit. Perhaps the best commentary on these words are found in Romans 8 and verse 26, where Paul says, likewise, the Spirit also helps. The Spirit himself aids and assists in our weakness. So pray always, with all prayer and supplication, in the Spirit, with the help of the Spirit, with the aid of the Spirit, with the assistance of the Spirit. And so we ask, how then are these warfare prayers to be carried out? If you and I are going to do this type of prayer, what must be true of us? Well, Paul gives us the answer when he writes next in the passage. Look at the words. He says, here's how you do it. Being watchful to this end, that is to say, for this purpose of prayer. Now, I love that Paul here, again, brings up this language here of how we are to do it. Being watchful to this end of praying with all perseverance and supplication. I just like how he brings up this whole matter of watchfulness. Here he reminds me of the Lord Jesus Christ, who said in Mark 14 and verse 38 that we are to watch and pray, right? You've got those two things tied together. Watch and pray. Furthermore, our Lord said a similar thing in Matthew 26 and verse 40 and following. When after rebuking the disciples for sleeping, he said to them, they should have been praying. He says, quote, what? You could not watch and pray? He says, watch and pray. Be watchful when you pray. Watch and pray, he says, lest you enter into temptation. Now, the word watch here, as Paul uses it in our passage again, and he probably got it from what Christ had taught the disciples. The word watch here means to keep awake. That's what it means. Keep alert as someone watches over someone or something. To state the matter another way, because the devil is active against us as the people of God, alertness in the Christian life is to be our model for spiritual warfare. Watching, Paul says, to this end, that's how we are to do and enter into warfare prayers. As Christians, both spiritual and moral alertness are to be true of us. At every single point in our lives, for if we become spiritually lazy or drowsy, especially when it comes to praying, we can open ourselves up to the attack of the enemy. And so surely this is why Peter commanded us, saying in 1 Peter 5 and verse 8, be sober, be vigilant, literally be attentive. Why? Because your adversary, the devil, is walking about like a roaring lion, not seeking whom he may gum to death, but whom he may devour. And so we ask next, how? How is it that we are to pray watchfully? Well, Paul answers next, fifthly, when he says in our verse that we do this, look at, not merely with some perseverance, but rather he says, note the words in your Bibles, he says that we do it with all perseverance, and again, supplication. Now, of course, perseverance or steadfastness in this spiritual discipline of warfare prayer is crucial for us in our combats with the enemy of our souls. As I mentioned, spiritual laziness in our communion with God will be a huge hindrance in our walk with Christ and in this battle for the battles, rather, that Satan makes against us. And so this is why prayer is to be a continual activity for us. A dear one simply stated, if we are not praying habitually, if we are not being watchful in our lives, persisting in these things, the devil can gain a foothold in our lives, and if he does, we will suffer for it. Our marriages will suffer for it. Our families will suffer for it if we're not praying to Christ regularly to help us in these great battles. Our testimonies will suffer for it. Our churches will suffer for it. And brethren, I say, make no mistake about it. The devil loves a slothful saint. He loves a sleeping saint. He loves a slothful saint. He loves Christians who say, I have no time to pray to God today. I've got to get about and do other things in my life. I say, friends, if we are like that, either individually or corporately as a church, we are playing into the hands of the enemy. For Paul says, concerning spiritual warfare, praying always. Praying always. And therefore, in view of this, I call all of you to exercise yourself to prayer, especially in view of what Paul is saying, so that you could be kept safe in this battle. We must pray. This is what our apostle is calling us to do. Here is how we'll be successful. Here is how we will stand strong in the Lord. Here is how we will not be pushed around by the devil. And so, having seen from Paul's language here, the frequency of our prayers, always the manner of our prayers, we've already discussed it. Come with me thirdly now to note in 18c to verse 20, the objects of our prayers. The objects of our prayers. We ask, as you and I engage in spiritual warfare against principalities and powers and all of those rulers of this dark age, against the spiritual host of wickedness in high places, to use Paul's language, on whose behalf are we to pray? I mean, along with praying for ourselves, as we trust we all do, so that we could stand well in this battle, who else are to be the subjects of our attention in this regard? Well, really, the answer is twofold. And so Paul says first, at the end of verse 18, look at the language, that we are to pray always with all perseverance, diligence, and supplication, varied prayers, fervent prayers. How? By the help or the aid of the Spirit. And this is to be done, notice what he writes, he says, for, or perhaps better translated, concerning all the saints. You see it there in your Bibles. Concerning all the saints. The objects, the subjects of our warfare prayers. So we cry out to God. Subjects, number one, all the saints. Notice he didn't just say your favorite saints. I got about three of those. I pray for them all day long. But that's not what Paul says. He says concerning all the saints. That is all the born-again people that you know, because all of them are liable to the same attacks of the devil that you experience as a Christian. All of us, every single Christian, every true believer is a target of Satan and his spiritual cohorts. And so here then, we have a very important lesson concerning our battles with the devil. Lesson, at this point we're probably lesson 15 after all these messages. Lesson number 15. When it comes to spiritual warfare, it's not all about us. That's the lesson. Pray concerning, with reference to all the saints. What's the lesson? This battle's not all about me. It's not all about us. It's not only about my trials and my temptations. As a private Christian, for as Paul says in 1 Corinthians 10, no temptation has overtaken us except that which is common to man. We're all going through these struggles. And so, church, keep this in mind the next time you feel the devil breathing down your neck. Maybe he's breathing down one of your brother's neck, one of your sister's neck as well. The next time, again, the devil is tempting you with this thing or that thing, don't only resist him steadfastly in the faith with the word of God by saying, Satan, be gone, for it is written. No, but having done this, think of others in the Lord and ask Jesus to give them help as well. No temptation has overtaken us except that which is common to man. Pray for all the saints. All the saints. Not just again your own trials, but think about others. This is great. When we have corporate prayer meetings, we want to hear the burdens, the trials. I'm struggling with this thing or that thing. Please pray for me. All the saints, that's what Paul says. Again, not just your favorite ones, not just the most popular ones in the church, but all the saints. Do you even know the burdens of the saints in this place? You should. That's how we fulfill Paul's words. I know what they're going through. I pray for all the saints. Say, how can I have a ministry in the church? Here's how you can have ministry in the church. It's a mutual ministry. It's part of one anothering. Praying for my brother. Praying for my sister. It's one anothering according to Scripture. It's mutual ministry. People come in the church, say, I want a ministry. Begin here. Begin here. Pray for all the saints. You go through the directory. You look at the names. As I do. I pray through them. And as a pastor, I know there are particular trials, but as brethren, you bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. And a way to do that is by praying for all the saints. Warfare prayer. Praying for all the saints. First objects of our prayers. But Paul's got more to say. Having spoken in general, all the saints, Paul goes on to say now in the beginning of verse 19, that the ministers of the gospel are also to be included in the petitions that we make to God, the ones for whom we are to pray. Pray for all the saints, but look at verse 19. Three wonderful little words. And for me. You see, Paul, he's taught on spiritual warfare. He says that that which undergirds it, that which lubricates the armor so it doesn't rust out. It's prayer. You need to pray for all the saints because the devil, he's relentless at times. Pray for each one of your brethren. Do that and you do well. And then as Paul has said that, he kind of lifts up his hand and says, and don't forget about me. Don't forget about me. I know what it's like to do battle with the devil. And for me, Paul says, don't forget about me. Don't forget about me. The battle's too serious, and for me. Don't forget about me. Now, if you're familiar with Paul, you know that throughout his epistles, he's asking for prayer. He's asking for prayer. Asking for prayer for himself and those with whom he labored. It's something he regularly did in his epistles. And so you see, far from viewing himself as some super apostle who didn't need prayer, no, Paul realized that he was still prone to weakness. And he realized that the devil would love to see his mouth silenced, being stopped in his gospel labors. And so because he knew that the prayers of God's people were powerful, he regularly asked them to pray. Pray for us, brethren. Thessalonians, pray for us. that the word of God will run and have free course. That's what Paul says. Pray concerning us to this very end. And so what then, the question is, was the specific content of the request that Paul wanted the Ephesians to pray on his behalf? Well, he tells them plainly when he says in the rest of the verse, 19 to 20, look at the words again in your Bibles, he writes, that. You see the word there. And for me, that. The word that gives us the content of what Paul wants them to pray for him. That utterance, literally a word or a message, may be given to me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that in it, as I said earlier, in the gospel or concerning the gospel, I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. Now it's striking to consider that Paul, as you know, he's in chains, he uses the language here, that as Paul is in prison, he could have asked the brethren to pray that he might be released from prison, right? I mean, pray that I might be released. He'd say, that's fine, it's a good prayer. You know, he could have said that. But however, that's not Paul's true concern. Rather, he wants the Ephesians to pray that he might open his mouth boldly, fearlessly, faithfully. Oh, that's a great prayer to pray for your preachers. Not get me out of this situation, but when I get out in God's providence, if that's his will, that I may open my mouth boldly. That's what Paul says. And I might speak the mystery of the gospel plainly. What's the mystery? Well, Paul speaks about it earlier, as you know, in Ephesians chapter 3, verses 1 to 7. He speaks of the mystery. And in summary, it's that deliverance from the wrath of God to us because of our sins against him is available for all people, Jews and Gentiles alike. The mystery is not something which is unknowable, no. Rather, it's that which was previously concealed in the Old Testament, yet plainly revealed in the New Testament. And simply stated, it is that salvation is both for Jews and for Gentiles. Look at 3:8. To me, he says, 3:8, who am less than the least of all the saints, his grace was given to me that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ. 3:8, and make to see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the ages has been hidden in God who created all things through Christ Jesus. What's the mystery? It's the glorious mystery back in verse 6 of Ephesians 3. That the Gentiles shall be fellow heirs, should be fellow heirs of the same body and partakers of his promises in Christ. How? Through the gospel. That's it. It was concealed in the Old Testament that salvation is not only for the Jews, but it was revealed in the New Testament that salvation is for all people. And thus Paul could say in Romans 10 and verse 13 that whoever calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved. And so here is what Paul is asking the church to pray for him and for me. Pray for me. Pray for me. I'm not too prideful to ask for prayer, although I am the apostle to the Gentiles, although I've seen the risen Lord Jesus Christ, although I've been caught up to the third heaven, and I've heard things that no ears should hear, as it were. Paul says, pray that I will speak faithfully and fearlessly all my days. He's asking them to pray that either publicly or in private he may be able to speak the gospel with frankness. And look at the language. He says, as I ought to speak. That I do this as I ought to speak. Make known the mystery of the gospel as I ought to speak. He says at the end of verse 20. Literally, of necessity, Paul says. How I ought to speak of necessity. That is to say, as an appointed minister of Christ. Ministers of Christ are to speak boldly for the gospel. Faithfully, fearlessly, frankly, They are to speak with an open face, as it were, boldly, with no hidden cloak of disguise or no timidity, as it were. No, pray that I will speak openly the mystery of the gospel. And so, in tying this matter back to my second point a moment ago, dear ones, pastors, just like all of God's people, need your prayers. We need your prayers. We're not to be left out of the supplications that you make to God. Some people think, oh, he's so strong in the Lord, he doesn't need any help. No, 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 no. We need help. We need your prayers. And for me. Don't forget me. Don't forget me, Paul says. Pray for me. And so, brethren, I call you to pray. Not only for a pastor, but that when you get a pastor, he will speak boldly as he ought to speak. Pray for your pastor. Pastor the Lord will give you, believing him for this. Pray that he'll be a holy man of God all of his days. Pray now for him. Pray that he'll be faithful to his wife all of his days. Faithful to his family, faithful to his church. Pray that he won't ever keep his mouth shut regarding the gospel. That he will continue to speak of the Savior, come what may. O brethren, I say, pray. Pray for your pastors. Pray for those men whom God will give over you. Spurgeon said, the greatest kindness anyone can do for me is to pray. The greatest kindness anyone can do for me is to pray. That's what Paul is saying here. For which I am an ambassador in chains, that I may speak boldly with frankness, just as I ought to speak. And so here then is where we end our series of sermons on the topic of spiritual warfare, Satan, his schemes, our arsenal, and the victory. In these messages, going back from last week, the first Sunday school class, we've considered our enemy. Secondly, we've considered the essence of our warfare. We wrestle not with flesh and blood. We've considered the equipment that we are to wear in this fight. And then we've considered this evening the engagement of prayer throughout this entire matter. And so, just as in military life, it's common to receive a debriefing after an operation. They do that. Let's talk about it a little bit. As I conclude, I want to summarize all that we've seen in these several messages by setting forth five brief propositions for you all to get. Five propositions. First is this. Dear ones, never forget that although the Christian life is absolutely the best life to live on this side of glory, for we have joy unspeakable and joy in the Holy Ghost, and certainly will be the best life and the only life lived in heaven on the other side of glory. Proposition number one, it is also at times a real struggle, and this oftentimes against supernatural, invisible forces. Proposition number one. What did we consider as I kind of collate all of those messages? Christian life, best life now. We know God. We've been reconciled to Him. So much better being a believer than an unbeliever, of course. Our future is sealed. Heaven's going to be great. Nonetheless, it is also, at times, a very real struggle. And this oftentimes against supernatural, evil, invisible forces. Proposition number one, keep that in mind. But secondly, from what we've considered, never forget that the Christian life must be lived out in the strength that the Lord Christ provides. For in and of ourselves, we are no match for the devil. And his cohorts, however, in Christ, we lack nothing. Be made strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Third, never forget that although Jesus has defeated every single spiritual foe against us at the cross, having made a public spectacle of them, as Paul says in the book of Colossians, so that It's true that no Christian will ultimately be destroyed or defeated or deceived by the devil. Nevertheless, because Satan continues to be active in hurting and annoying us, spiritually speaking, in order to stand strong against him, we need divine protection and spiritual equipment. Thus, we must of necessity regularly put on the full armor of God. We must of necessity regularly put on the full armor of God. Fourth, again, by way of debriefing. Never forget that as we've seen this evening, that if our armor, if your armor, if you're going to do well in spiritual battle, if it's not going to rust out, then our whole lives must be bathed in prayer. We must be a praying people, individually and corporately. Praying always, Paul says. That's how you do everything I've been telling you, by prayer and supplication. How? With the help of the Spirit, with all perseverance and watchfulness, and this for all the saints, you name them, you pray on their behalf. Never forget that if all that we've been considering is going to work well, it must be bathed in prayer. And then fifthly and finally, from what we've seen this evening, dear ones, never forget that if you and I are going to be kept safe, well, in this battle, we must regularly remain alert, keeping spiritual sleep and complacency far away. Watch, Paul says. Be on guard. A spiritual alertness about us. What's happening in this situation? Could it be that the devil is doing this thing or that thing? Could it be a watchfulness about us? Be watchful to this end in prayer. Stay alert. Don't be deceived. Arouse yourselves. Call out to God in faith by the help of the Spirit, looking to the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh Lord, help us in this situation. We need Thee every hour. We need Thee every moment. We need Thee now, especially at this particular time in our lives as the people of God. And so in view of these things, dear ones, may the Lord help us all. And may the Lord richly help all of you. May He Himself give you great help in this fight of all fights. And this to the end, that you stand strong against the wiles of the devil. And that as you do, the wonderful name of Jesus Christ might be glorified in your midst. Well, let's look to Him and ask for prayer, help through prayer, as we call upon His name. Our Father, we are thankful for Your Word. We're thankful for what it teaches us. We're thankful for how it teaches us. We're thankful, Lord, that You have called us to pray, that under everything that we may ever seek to do in our Christian lives so that we might stand well, that we must be a praying people. There's no shortcuts in this fight. No easy answers. No quick methods. It's praying always. Oh God, help us, we pray. Help us to be a praying people. Help us to recall time and again that this warfare is won on our knees. Lord, help us to have calloused knees once again. Help us to be serious about what's before us. To not let You go until You bless us with deliverance and help and assistance and strength and vigor. Oh God, help us never to let You go as we pray to You in faith. Give us grace, we ask, oh God. Do us good and seal all of these matters to our hearts. And for these things we will praise and bless Your most excellent name. We ask them all through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen.